The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Let's talk about that famous verse on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. Right now, we are in a series where we're exploring the different meanings of the words saved and salvation in five different New Testament books. And right now, we're in Hebrews. Today, we're going to take a look at some verses in chapter 2. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar to walk us through this interesting discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Hey, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hey, I'm Bob.
And I just want to say hello to any kind of new listeners who are tuning in for the first time, because we're going to be talking about some pretty, I don't know if it's controversial, but I would say these are kind of little known points of theology.
You're right. I remember I taught through, we're doing the book of Hebrews now and salvation in Hebrews. And I remember after Sharon and I moved back from Portland, I had been teaching at Multnomah. And so we moved back to Dallas and I started Grace Evangelical Society. And I was in a Bible church. They allowed me to teach a Sunday school class on Hebrews.
Yeah.
It was challenging to many of the people in this Bible church because they'd never heard this view that the partners of Christ are a special group of believers who are going to receive the reward of ruling with Christ. Most of the people in this Bible church believed in eternal security, but they had one man who was Arminian, believed you could lose your salvation. When I was going through the book and saying, obviously, these people are born again, there are five warning passages in Hebrews, and I understood all five to refer to believers being warned that if they do not persevere, they will not be one of Christ's partners in the life to come. And he said he did not agree with me that the unfaithful would get into the kingdom, but he did agree with me that all five warning passages are addressed to genuine believers.
Right.
In his view, the issue was eternal destiny. If you persevere, you're going to get into the kingdom and rule. If you don't persevere, you're not going to get in, you're not going to rule. It was funny to have a guy who believed in a form of work salvation to be agreeing with me on the book, and yet there were some Calvinists in the church that were struggling.
Yes.
Because they were like, this just seems like an odd teaching.
Right.
Because in the Calvinist way of understanding, for example, Hebrews 1:14 and the other references to salvation in Hebrews, it's basically the idea that if you are genuinely born again, you will persevere, and you will be chosen to be one of Christ's partners.
Right.
And in that view, the warning passages are either warning unbelievers who are mixed into the believers he's writing to, or you could say these are hypothetical. Sometimes they take the warning passages as hypothetical.
Right.
If a genuine believer were to do this, well, then they wouldn't be chosen as Christ's partners. But wait a minute, we know they're genuine believers, so they will do it. But in any case, yes, it is kind of a new teaching, but it's not bizarre. In fact, when you read all the commentaries on Hebrews, you'll pretty much see them say that the author of Hebrews is saying you must persevere to be Christ's partners.
Right. Well, I was thinking of a quote I read recently from Bart Ehrman, who's I think he was evangelical, and now he might be atheist, but he's a New Testament scholar.
Yeah, University of North Carolina, yeah.
Yeah. And he said something like, you know, most Christians don't even believe in resurrection. They believe that when you die, you go to heaven and that's it. And they don't even understand what resurrection is. And they don't believe in having a new body that's forever. I don't have the quote in front of me, but it was something like that.
Right.
And so I can imagine people listening to this saying, what are you guys going on about? A partner of what? Partner where? Aren't we all just kind of floating around in heaven after we die? And so part of understanding this teaching is to realize, no, when you die, your spirit, if you're a believer, you go to be with Jesus spiritually until you are resurrected at the rapture.
Right, in 1 Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive will be caught up and meet the Lord in the air.
And so the question is, why does God give you this immortal body? It's because you're going to be living on this new earth that he's going to create.
Right, in Revelation 22, between verses 3 and 5, he says, his servants shall serve him. We will serve him forever on the new earth with glorified bodies. All will serve, but only some will be co-rulers.
Right. So there's going to be a culture. There's going to be an economy. There's going to be nations and government and politics on this new earth. And when Hebrews is talking about the partners with Christ, all of that is kind of in the background, isn't it?
It is. And I remember when I was in this class in 1980, a Greek class on the book of Hebrews, I raised my hand in the third or fourth class and I said, you know, Prof, it seems like you're saying the book of Hebrews has a lot to say about eternal rewards. And he said, yes. And I said, but I thought only 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, and 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27 were the only major passages dealing with eternal rewards. And he said, I don't know where you got that, but that is so wrong. He said, almost every page in the New Testament has something to say about eternal rewards.
Wow.
And he said, that's certainly true in the book of Hebrews. So last time we looked at chapter 1 and verse 14 about being those who are chosen for this future salvation, which I argued was based on 1:9, being chosen to be Christ's partners in the life to come.
Right. So in 1:9, Hebrews 1:9 talks about he has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And so there's this idea that there's going to be these companions of Messiah, these partners, these metakoi. And then in verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? And you argued that the salvation here relates to being a metakoi, being a partner.
It does. And I didn't discuss inheriting, but inheritance, if you look at that concept throughout the Bible, often inheritance is a reward. There was a thesis written at Dallas Seminary, I believe it was Klapstein. He wrote a thesis on kleronomia and kleronomeo, which are the words for inheriting and inheritance. I think it's very important to recognize that this is a potential reward for the faithful. And the second passage is Hebrews 2:3, and that is part of the first warning passage in Hebrews. So maybe you could read 2:1-4, because that's a warning passage.
Sure. Hebrews 2:1-4. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away.
Right.
It's possible for believers
this
to drift away.
You're seeing the perseverance idea in the very next verse after 1:14.
For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, here's this reward
right.
idea, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? So you can neglect this salvation that he's talking about.
Exactly. It's important, you know, whenever you see the word therefore, you say, what's the therefore, therefore? Well, the therefore in 2:1 goes back to 1:14 and being one who is going to inherit salvation. And what he's saying clearly in 2:1-4 is if you drift away, if you are one who neglects this great soteria, well, then you are going to miss out on it. You're not going to have this future salvation. And so it's important to recognize that this is conditional. Now, of course, most commentators understand the salvation as getting into the kingdom. And so that colors their understanding here. Ellingsworth says, quote, the message about Christ is an event which brings salvation to those who believe. Well, that may be, but we're not talking about salvation from eternal condemnation here. The issue here is not believing. You'll notice in 2:1-4, there's nothing about us needing to believe and be born again. Instead, the issue here is holding fast and being faithful. And you have F.F. Bruce. He says, but the great salvation proclaimed in the gospel was brought to earth by no angel but by the Son of God himself. To treat it lightly, therefore, must expose one to sanctions even more awful than those which safeguarded the law. This is the first of several places in the epistle where an inference is drawn from law to gospel, unquote. Well, he's not clear there. What is it that the believer who strays is going to miss out on? You know, the fact that we're using a first-person plural here shows the author is including himself and all believers. And it would not make any sense to say, well, now all of a sudden he's been writing to believers, but now all of a sudden he's mixing in some unbelievers, or that he's talking hypothetically here. Believers can't lose everlasting life, and that is found in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews 10:10, Hebrews 10:14, it says, he has sanctified forever those who have come to him. And so that sanctification refers to a past sanctification being set apart to the family of God. But this isn't dealing with eternal security. This passage is dealing with eternal rewards.
Well, what would you say about this? It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? What spoken teaching is he talking about there?
Well, I think there are quite a few of them. In Matthew 10:32-33, Jesus says, he who confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. He who denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. Now, that's often understood to refer to getting into the kingdom, but Paul doesn't understand it that way. When Paul refers to that in 2 Timothy 2:12, he says, if we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us.
Right.
Well, the if we deny him, he will deny us looks back to Matthew 10, verse 33. He's interpreting the first part, if we confess him, he will confess us, to refer to ruling with Christ. Mm. And yet he goes on in verse 13 of 2 Timothy 2 to say, if we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Our eternal destiny is secure, but whether we rule with Christ is contingent. Another example would be Matthew 16:24-28. Peter has just said, Lord, you're not going to the cross. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And then he said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Well, before we go any further, Bob, I think we're going to have to, let's investigate how the Lord taught about rewards and ruling with him in the next episode.
Okay, good.
All right, and you keep on listening to us, and if you want to listen to previous episodes, be sure to check out our website, faithalone.org, or on any of the platforms where you can hear this podcast, and we're going to continue our series on salvation in Hebrews. We will see you guys next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to look at Hebrews 2:10, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.